Travis.
Hi, Tom.
Are we back?
We are back.
Oh, my God. Another episode of
Give Us the Launch Codes.
Let's have some fun today. I think we're doing something for the first time ever in our podcast, which is weird to say because you and I love movies. Like all of high school, if you think about it, isn't our friendship really based on the pillars of movie loving?
Yeah.
And this is our first ever movie review.
It started by you saying, you got to watch this movie, you got to watch this movie, you got to watch this movie.
And then you and I would watch trailers together.
Yes.
Because we made a trailer in high school, which one day, folks, we will talk about our high school shenanigans and drama. But Travis and I made the greatest three trailers ever.
Yeah.
In drama.
Yeah, that was a good time. I guess there's a movie you wanted me to watch.
But this is our first ever movie review.
Yeah. Well, we're also going to talk about like broader things.
But still, like this is cool though. Like we actually did a movie review. So we're going to talk about a movie that came out, I think, was it early May?
Mm-hmm.
And then it finally was released on HBO Max or streaming on July 4th. Talk about Sinners.
I wished I had watched Sinners in theaters because it looks really good. Sinners is the new film written and directed by Ryan Coogler, who made the Black Panther movies, Creed, the first Creed.
Fruitvale Station.
And Fruitvale Station, which I think it was his debut.
It was. And that was Fruitvale Station, by the way. Everyone needs to watch that movie.
I need to watch Fruitvale Station. So I guess now that my Brian Coogler filmography is like, I got three of the five. No, not true. I've only watched Black Panther. I did not see Wakanda Forever.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw that.
No. I have.
You still got to watch Rocky before you watch Creed.
I've only seen Rocky 1. So, well, the thing about Sinners that was cool was that this is an original movie with a big budget, a relatively large budget, made by a filmmaker. He's like, he wrote it and directed it, and it's all original. It's not based on a book or a comic book.
And he's well known. Like, he's done stuff before. And this isn't his debut. This is like, you know, he's just in the ring. He's just on the track now.
Yeah.
This is a normal day for him.
Yeah. It's, Rather Media calls this his blank check movie.
It does feel like that.
This, like,
right.
Hey, you paid your dues to Hollywood. You made movies that we wanted you to make. Now you can make whatever you want at the budget you want, and we'll hardly give you notes. And that was basically what Sinners was.
I wish there were a few notes, and we'll get into that.
which I'm like, you know, it was all right. I honestly, much of the trailers promoted the fact that there were vampires in it. The movie is really more about music, specifically black music. Your main characters are Smoke and Stack, twins, both played by Michael B. Jordan.
There's a joke about that, by the way. Michael B. Jordan and his debut for his brother, Michael C. Jordan.
Which Jordan is great in the movie. Like right from the jump, like I could look at them side by side and I could just tell like he's giving a different performance for each. So that.
Oh, no, a lot of work. He did an interview. A lot of work went into it. Coogler hired twin consultants.
Okay.
To get not just the acting down, but the unspoken psychology, almost telekineticness that twins have.
Mm.
Like Michael B. Jordan was, it's weird to say it, but was professionally trained by twins.
It's weird to say that. I wouldn't have even thought to do that. Like, yeah, let's just get like, let me just talk to like actual twin friends and be like, we knew some twins in high school. It'd be like calling those guys.
Yeah, it would be. Of course, it would be. That's the thing. It's just funny to think that like, now we're in the time of Hollywood where you get twin consultants, professional twin like training. It's not combat training, firearm training, underwater training, horseback riding. No, it's twin training.
Yeah, and they
a
got
little TT,
and they got a cousin who's like the preacher's son. And this is 1932, right, by the way, which is really well rendered. They had like kind of a, you know, it kind of reminds me of an old West town. It's set in Mississippi.
Oh, it's well. They put a lot of work in. Basically, when you say Blake Check, spared no expense. Like the town is built.
The only thing I think they saved money was the costumes, and that's just because I've read that.
Yeah, they stole
that
it.
The Blade movie that Marvel Studios was gonna make
with Coogler
that is now not going to happen. The cost, they already made the costumes for that movie, And I guess there was going to be some period elements, so they said, "Can we just use those?" So apparently they saved their money on costumes and damn good looking costumes. But other than that, like it's a good looking movie. Anyway, the Michael B. Jordan twins, they want to start up a juke joint, you know, a bar with live blues music, make a business, and they have a cousin, a young, like, I don't know how old he was.
Like, I think he was like early
20s.
He's the puppy.
He's a boy. He's a puppy. He's really good with the guitar.
Yeah.
He's good with an acoustic guitar. He can sing the blues. And the movie has this idea that I wish they played around with more. This idea, like, there are some people who can come up with music so good it could transcend life and death. And the sequence where they showed him doing that, where it gets really surreal. It's a great sequence where you see these, like, other...
It's one take, too.
Yes, yes. It's, like, this great sweeping one-take wonder. And you see, like, all these other, like, black musicians from past, present, and future. Including, like, African dancers and shaman to, like... A 70s rocker to like a DJ, like a hip hop DJ.
It even gets more too because they start also dancing and singing with him playing. Like even the DJ said, Sammy, whoa, you know, because the character's named Sammy.
Yeah, like, and it's all integrated well into what otherwise should be a blues sound, but it's like, okay, this, like, imagine, like, and they have this idea that such music can be so good. It can invite evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the vampires come in, and the vampires, they seem to love Irish traditionals.
Well, this one, because he's the lead vampire.
This one, the only vampires in the movie, this one really loves Irish traditionals.
Well, it's interesting how you bring up, okay, so the story, like you said, to help you, the audience. By the way, we're going to just spoil the fucking movie. So
you've had your chance.
You had your chance. Especially whenever this gets released, you've had your chance. The movie starts off, like you said, the twin brothers come back from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting more, if you look at how they're dressed, it shows who they rob from. Because there's throwaway lines about we have a ton of Irish beer and Italian wine.
Yes.
One's dressed up like he worked and stole from the Irish gang. The other worked, infiltrated, and stole from the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
They came to Chicago with a truck full of free alcohol, basically.
Yeah.
They recruit their cousin because he can play. And they also, too, it's like, we can't really pay all these musicians. We're starting up. Our cousin will just work for free. We'll just get him laid. Like, what young cousin will say no to free pussy? we'll help him out. Don't worry. We're cool. And so they recruit him.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll go recruit a couple other people that they've known from, because they come back home. They recruit their a buddy who's basically 6'7" to be the bouncer. And he's like, hey, man, you can pick cotton all day. We'll give you $500 right now. Come on, get in the car. Yeah. They recruit a musician they knew growing up as kids in that town who's the best harmonica and piano player
played
all
by
around.
Delroy Lindo.
You know what's funny about him?
Yeah.
When they go to recruit him at the train station of, like, he's really good, it's like, yeah, my cousin's good, too. And the cousin's like this, yeah, let me show you how good I am. Motherfucker, you touch that fucking string, I'll gut you right here. How dare you fucking play in my fucking area, motherfucker? This is my spot. You touch one string, I will slice your fucking throat.
I like how the Sammy's like this.
Whoa.
What the fuck, dude?
Whoa.
And they're able to fully bribe him with free Irish beer. He's like, all right, I'll play with you guys. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's like they don't get a lot of Guinness around here.
And while this is happening, as they're getting ready to they recruit basically their friends, the gang. It's almost like they get the gang back together.
Yeah.
To open up this juke joint.
Including their old love interests.
That was a really nice scene because the love interest for Smoke.
Yeah.
Was a woman he was with whose child died in at birth.
Yeah.
She had a miscarriage where the child died at birth, but there's still that primal connection they have.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically the voodoo woman, but she makes the best fucking catfish around.
Yeah.
Even so, because Smoke also goes to the friends who own the Chinese people own the shop. Mm-hmm. They need 100 pounds of catfish, and they're like, and a sign. And it's like, it's kind of, I like that element where they get everyone together and you get to feel the town. You do see that Depression era feel of the 30s and, like,
yeah,
not just the Mississippi South Jim Crow racism, but the flow of, like, hey, we built something here. Like, the town's Market Street. I'm like,
I loved everything in that town. It reminded
me. That could be
me,
its own TV show.
Like, It's so stupid. It reminded me of playing Red Dead, especially the shot of,
I thought that.
Of the like, woman like walking from the one shop to the other. And the camera follows her in like one uninterrupted take, so it's all in real time. Like,
did that not look like Blackwater?
Yeah.
It was great. So while these brothers, who are kind of basically saying they left their criminal lifestyle to try something new,
mm-hmm.
what's happening in the background of this main story is a vampire lands in Mississippi.
Yeah.
He's an Irish vampire, and he basically attacks and recruits two Klans members, a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about that scene is I like how the way he falls, like he just comes out and he's kind of smoking and stuff, and he's like, shit, gotta get inside, and he's acting hurt.
Yeah.
And then you find out, though, why he's acting hurt. A tribe of Indians are chasing him down.
Yeah.
And what's cool about that is, for a second, because when you have a movie involving vampires and music that can, you know, transcend time and space,
mm-hmm.
you think, holy crap, and yes, maybe this is my dumbass Twilight brain, I thought those Native Americans were fucking werewolves. Do you know why, though? Because when you watch the way they ran away, because they saw the sun was setting, they ran away from that little cabin,
mm-hmm.
that's the way a wolf pack operates.
Yeah.
Like they have like a couple in front, a bulk center, and a couple in the back to protect everyone. Mm. I was like, oh my God, are they werewolves? Like, this movie already got better.
No, they're just vampire hunters.
But they're so badass, huh?
Yeah.
That was a badass group.
And the way the vampires are shown coming, that reminded me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where it's like, they phrased it as like your soul is trapped inside your body and therefore it's just full of bitterness that it can't pass on.
Right.
But as far as I'm concerned, this is Buffy rules. Like, the soul is gone. You're just evil now.
You're just having fun.
And
it looks like, and you think about all the vampires were having fun.
Oh, yeah, no, the scene where they're dancing, like the Irish traditional...
In the circle? Yeah, the big
What's it called? The Man Goes Down to Dublin?
Yeah.
My wife is going to correct me if I get that wrong. That was a bop.
Oh, and everyone was moving and how they were acting and going and and the little Irish footstepping he was doing.
That was when I realized... It would not take that much to turn this movie into like a Broadway musical.
No. Are you kind of surprised it's not a musical?
It's like it would turn, you could turn it into like a jukebox musical and on Broadway, just add a few more songs here and there.
You have a musical. No, it could have been a musical.
It could have. It was like almost a musical, basically.
I like that number that the three main vampires did to try to get access into the jute joint.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the guitars and they start doing little like synchronized movements and stuff.
Yes.
And I love how like some of them are like, hey, they ain't bad, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. not good. You know what?
They got the rule that you have to invite them in.
That's what I love about it. They really hit vampire rules. Like, they can only come in and invited. And do these vampires really try hard to get invited?
I know.
Like, they're so, they have manners.
Yes.
And you know what I love when they're trying to get in and then Smoke's like this. Why, boy, are you with the Klan? And I love how the vampire's like this. Wow. That was uncalled for. Like, he was so offended by that.
He was, like, stumbling over his speech for that.
He was like, hey, what the fuck was that for?
Which, if he's, like, an Irish vampire, actually, that would kind of make sense because he'd probably be from a Catholic family when he was alive, and
he's like, I'm not one of them Protestant fucks. It's like, that is so rude of you, sir. And I'll say one more thing. What I like, the detail in the vampires. Did you notice whenever he was gonna fly, it's the way he kicked off. I'm like, he's fucking doing Mary Poppins. Like, you never really see them fly, but you just see a quick ascension up with like a kick step foot,
mm-hmm.
and he gets up, and then the scene cuts somewhere else, and I'm like, that is freaky.
Yeah.
Every time he like goes to get up and kick, it's a really like, it's literally the Mary Poppins like kick up.
I wish in this movie, because it kind of the way the situation resolves is like how you would think it would go down with like any vampire movie. I'm kind of with Jay Bauman with his view in Red Letter Media when they did their review of the movie, where he said like, the movie kind of gets a little less interesting when the vampires come in, because then it just turns into, oh, vampires invading, we got to kill them. I wish they did something more with the whole
music.
With Sammy and his music and his supernatural musical talent. Like, if he could accidentally invite evil in or attract evil, surely the music could somehow magically repel evil too,
or cure it.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I thought that's where it was going to go, where Sammy would be the one to, like, almost in a sense, make the vampires... Like, you can be a vampire, not evil. Like, we've seen that in other mediums. Like, isn't that what...
well, yeah.
What was that one HBO show about with Skarsgård and Rachel?
True Blood?
Yeah, True Blood.
I haven't seen True Blood.
But I'm just saying, like...
I'm just saying...
I thought that's what he was going to do.
Yeah. Or like on Buffy, there's Angel. He got his soul back.
Yeah.
And he doesn't murder people
anymore.
And
I feel like the movie was... The movie had such a great overallness that the last 20 minutes when the vampires finally break into the barn and kill everyone, I'm like, oh, you just needed a way to end this.
I agree with you there.
Because here's where I started to not like the movie during those last 20 minutes, because there are so many shots of, like, these are our group of people. This is the last group, the last stand. These six. And then when the barn gets attacked, three other fuckers from Who the Fuck Are You get attacked and killed. I'm like, who the fuck are you? I didn't see you in those shots. There's, like, so many wide pan shots of, like, these are our six people. These are our six survivors, our six fighters.
Oh, and this movie does the, because it was filmed in IMAX, so it does the thing where, like,
expands and contracts.
Yeah, kind of like watching a Nolan movie.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the people who died in the barn attack first, I'm like, who the fuck are you? I didn't remember. Who the fuck are these people?
Mm-hmm.
My mom, when I was telling her about it, she was thinking, like, oh, it's like when Tiffany Haddish says, who's you? Who the fuck's you? When did you come? And then there's a moment, too, because I like how you never see the full appearance of the vampire, just bits and pieces, like the teeth and the claws at most.
And their eyes glow.
And their eye, one glows red, though.
One glows red.
The leader.
And they didn't overdo it with the glow. It's like there's a light source coming from their eye, you don't know where that's from.
It reminded me of how they do Riddick's eyes in the Chronicles, or in the Riddick movies, the little shine.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and then somehow, when the barn goes up in flames, it's like, okay, cool, whatever. Somehow, when the lead vampire has Sammy in the river by himself, and he's going to take him, claim his soul.
Oh, the big Deus Ex Machina.
Somehow Michael B. Jordan, one of his characters, gets down from a two-story barn-burning building through 50 vampires into waist-deep water and stabs the main guy in the back.
Who does he think he is? Han Solo?
Jesus.
Let's blow this thing and go home.
And then it's like, oh, the main vampire goes up into flames in the air while the rest of his army withers away in ash.
As the sun comes up. It's just like, okay, yeah, exactly. And I'm with you there. It's just like they didn't know how to end it. Yes.
And then how do you finally end it? Sammy, go home. I'm going to kill those clans guys who we knew was going to come. Now it's time to do a shootout with the clan. And I'm like...
And then it turns into Django Unchained for 5 minutes.
And then in my head, I'm like this. Wait, when the clan showed up, there's still ash everywhere. They didn't notice the barn was burned down. How is the barn still up? And then somehow 20 guys can't shoot one dude in open, with no cover. Michael B. Jordan has a Chicago typewriter and is unloading on 20 guys behind cars. He has no cover, and 20 guys couldn't land a shot on him.
I find the movie, even though Ryan Coogler did not know how to end his movie,
else was great.
I did find the movie interesting, and I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again. And you know what? Here's the thing that Hollywood kind of needs. Like, we're always talking about, like, we need more originality in Hollywood and that kind of thing. Not only do we need more, like, original movies, we need more original movies that are okay. that don't have to be the best thing you've ever seen. They could just be okay and still do well.
Just end better.
And then just encourage other people to make more movies, more original movies that are okay, because one of them is going to be, like, super tight, excellent, you know, one of the best things you've ever watched.
It's almost like, don't make a movie so good where the ending falls to shit. You know, because when I watched this movie, because I was talking about it with you and I got you to watch it, all I thought about is when you and I saw Black Klansman years ago, and I'm like, God, I love this movie. I love this movie so much. Oh, fuck you, ending. That ending fucking ruined that movie for me. That ending to that movie ruined Black Klansman for me. And then I got flashbacks while watching Sinners, and I'm like, God damn it.
It's the bad third act problem. And there's a lot of movies like that.
But some of them at least can get away with it. There are some that are just glaring. And it's almost like, you know what? Just make a movie with a good ending.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then I'll argue this, because I was talking to my dad about this because before we recorded. Can you call this original if it's just another take on vampires?
Well, sure you can.
In a way, it's like this, like, you know, it's like, damn it, like, I don't care.
It's a twist on From Dusk Till Dawn, basically. It's like if
without the Gatling gun crotch.
Yes.
It's
Ryan Coogler doing his take on From Dusk Till Dawn, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with.
But with less feet. It was more about eating out than feet. This movie was really about oral sex a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everybody has seen that clip of
Haley Steinfeld.
Haley Steinfeld saying,
"I heard you loud and clear, but then you stuck your tongue in my coos and fucked me so hard, I figured you changed your mind.
Keep your voice down now."
And then Sammy, "I want to taste you. Boy, I walked here. Let me kind of wash up a bit. I just want to taste you." I love that scene because outside when Stack's listening in, it's like, that is such a big cousin moment of like this, yeah, my little cousin's getting some. Awesome.
Yeah, he's trying to open the door like, oh, my cousin's in there. Oh, and then he just smiles. Like,
and then
yeah,
he tells someone
boy.
Else, "Hey, listen in on my cousin getting it." I do love how the personality of Stack and Smoke is two different human beings.
I noticed that like from the first frame.
Oh, you can tell.
And you can tell by like how they're lit too. Because like they're both wearing hats where they're wearing two different hats, but they're both have like brims covering their faces. Yet Stack, you know, cool playboy flirt type, his face is like, first shot you ever see him, his face is like lit. Like you could see like just perfectly consistently lit. But Smoke is like in shadow. His eyes are covered in
even
shadow.
Even though his hat has less cover.
Yeah.
Smoke, and Stack's the one who turns. Smoke is the one who stays human and protects his cousin. It's interesting. And you know what I love too? You brought that up. Smoke is so no-nonsense business. It's like, dude's a fucking dick in the movie.
Yeah.
He is such... I love when he's all like, "Stack, what the fuck's she doing here? Oh, she just get her the fuck out of here, or I will." Like,
I love the scene where Smoke talks to that little girl. Like, "Hey, want to make some money? You're gonna I want to pay you to watch my truck." But then he's like, "I'm gonna offer you this. I want you to turn it down, and then propose ask for this." Like
he educates.
He teaches that girl how to hustle.
But he's a dick overall, like he's like he literally shoots two dudes even though he knows them, because he's like, "I got a reputation to protect, I'm still gonna shoot you in the ass."
That also reminded me of Red Dead, where you can just be like, "Hey, you're trying to steal my stuff." Fuck. No.
but to see how dark he was, Smoke, he tells Sammy, "You have a good time here? You're like, you played well, good. Go home and never come here again, or I'll fucking kill you."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What the fuck?" Like, "I know, I'm trying to protect you. I gave you your fun because you're my cousin. Go the fuck back home to your dad, or I will fucking shoot you myself."
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, like, Smoke is the very much the no-nonsense protector.
Yeah.
But he's fucking dark.
Yeah. It's like, okay, he's been through a lot, and he can't handle it as well as his brother can.
No. Well, remember, you see Smoke, he shakes a lot. Like, he has PTSD with his hands, but he's the one who's like, "If I have to be the left hand of God, so fucking be it."
You get the sense that, like, Stack was the deal maker, but Smoke was, like, the violent enforcer.
Well, it kind of says, look what the gangs they came from.
Mm-hmm.
One went to the Italians. Oh, it's about this deal, smooth talking, having a little fun. One went to the Irish. We work our fucking knuckles to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And even Smoke was saying to Stack, "Dude, I want to show you what our money is and what real money is. We have 2 months or we'll be fucking closed down."
Yeah.
"So you being all nice and letting people pay with their plantation wooden coins is going to fucking hurt us, like I said. We need money, motherfucker."
Yeah.
I loved it. And just like I said, last 20 minutes of the film killed it for me. Everything before that last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's
a very interesting movie.
It's
with
a captivating, pulls you in movie.
With a good first two acts and then a fizzling third act.
The epilogue was awesome.
I like the epilogue, yeah.
The epilogue was amazing.
Like the main character turns into Buddy Guy.
Yeah. But he comes for his cousin again saying, "I'm here for you." Like, I just love that. It's a good cousin movie. You know how you get a... No, think about this. In most of cinema, you get a lot of brother, Or sister movies, or father and son, mother and daughter, blah, blah, blah. Like, Frozen is a sister's movie.
Yeah.
Step Brothers, the comedy, like, brothers. This is the first movie I can only recall that's like this. No, this wasn't about brothers. This was about the love for your cousin. They were looking out for their younger cousin.
Is that going to be a new trend, like, with the bear? The bear is all about, like, everybody's somebody's cousin, even if they're not blood relatives.
I'm glad you brought up the bear, because of time of recording on July 21st, the bear is over, right? It came out the fourth season.
Well, the fourth season's out. There's going to be a fifth season.
What I'm saying is, think about the bear. Biggest show on TV right now, and it's about cousin love.
Yeah.
This movie wasn't about the twin brothers. It was about each one of these brothers, who are twins, looking after their younger cousin, one teaching him how to have fun, get laid, the other one trying to be like this, go be better than us, get the fuck out of here. I'm trying to protect you from evil. And me being an only child, but the bonds I have with my older cousins and my younger cousins, I like that. I'm like, I kind of want another cousin movie. I hope there's more movies about just cousins.
It just made me wish I had, like, first cousins.
The thing about it, you can see it. It's a different bond. Mm-hmm. It's deep.
Yeah.
One of them's trying to help you get laid and have fun. The other one's like this: if you fuck up, I will beat the shit out of you. I feel like cousins can get more violent with each other than siblings.
But you know, so like, you know, we liked a lot of things. We didn't like other things.
I recommend everyone watches it still.
Everyone should,
especially
because
it's free now on HBO Max.
Yeah, if you have HBO Max, definitely check it out. It's great.
I think it's still in theaters though, still playing.
Well, I wish I saw it in an IMAX theater, and I know for a fact it's not there anymore. Okay. You want to see when you see those, like, original movie, it has a stacked cast, clearly a budget. You want to go see those movies if it promises like a little bit of spectacle. But it's not based on anything you've anything. No. Not just anything you never heard of, but like, and it's not based on
no
anything.
No IP.
Yeah, you want to give those kind of movies a chance.
I see you got a list there, and I think I know what it is.
Well, you know, it got me thinking a lot about the plight of original movies in Hollywood. Because, you know, the studios are so conglomerized now, nobody wants to get fired. It got me thinking about, let's go back to, like, you were born in 94. So let's go back to see, like, you know, how original screenplays fared at the box office. And basically, spoiler alert, the ones that did, the original films that did consistently well throughout all our lives are animated films.
Interesting.
And one trend you're going to notice when I get to the end of this list, China's coming to play. I'm on Box Mojo, Box Office Mojo, excuse me. Worldwide. No, I don't want domestic. I want worldwide. I want the movies.
I want that global money. I want that juicy shag meat.
I want worldwide. A worldwide box office. Which is fair, because Hollywood makes movies that get shown everywhere, so, you
plus,
know.
Also, too, when you talk to people outside of this country, when they love a certain American movie, they fucking love it.
Yes. So, 1994.
94.
The highest grossing original movie was The Lion King, made $771 million.
A great take on Hamlet.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah, Lion King is great. And remember, fun fact about Lion King, everyone, that was the B squad, not the A squad of Disney.
Oh, yes.
It. Yeah.
All the A-listers at Disney Animation wanted to make Pocahontas, and look how that turned out.
Yeah. Lion King, bitch. Elton John for life.
Yeah. Not only highest grossing original movie that year, number one end of the year, number one for 1994. 95, the same thing, original, also highest grossing by the end of the year. 7, directed by David Fincher.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? It made more than Toy Story.
Pretty Little Head.
And here's the thing. Seven was the highest grossing movie of 1995. It made $327 million. God, remember when, like, making $300 million was considered a lot of money back then?
And now that's, like, how much, like, a bit of a movie costs now?
Now it's like, if you make $300 million, the only way you could have done well is if you're a horror movie made by Blumhouse.
And it was indie budget.
And yeah. So, but now, like, $300 million, that's like
Robert Downey Jr.'s, basically, that's one of a Downey Jr. bill. That's just the pay.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Robert Downey Jr.
Did we break even? I don't know. The next year, This is technically an original screenplay. Oh God, okay. Number one for the year was Independence Day. Technically an original screenplay. 306
hey,
mil.
Hey, boys, I'm back. Elvis has left the building.
Oh, you're going to laugh at this.
Welcome to Earth.
So, 97. Again, number one original screenplay. Number one overall and for original screenplay, James Cameron's Titanic. Made $1.8 billion in its initial run.
Look, Jack. I'm flying. Never let go, Rose. Never let go.
Just wait till we get to 2008.
By the way, I'm gonna say a quote for every single movie right now. I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
We're still good. Original movie still. This is actually the last good year until 2009 for original,
oh,
like
shit.
Great year for original movies.
Okay.
1998, Armageddon. Number one for original
oh,
and overall,
God.
$553 million. With that awful Aerosmith song.
Yeah, I start singing that. Don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to die.
Directed by Michael Bay.
You know what's funny about that movie, though?
Mm-hmm.
The behind-the-scenes thing that Ben Affleck said that's now famous. He's like this.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Michael why it was easier to train oil drillers to become astronauts than it was to train astronauts to become oil drillers, and he told me to shut the fuck up. So that was the end of that talk. He was like, you know, Ben, just shut up, okay? You know, this is a real plan, all right? I was like, you mean it's a real plan at NASA to train oil drillers? He was like, just shut your mouth.
That was like the early days of DVD commentary. Like, they were just trying that out, and they basically could just let people say whatever they wanted.
Fuck they wanted. Ben Affleck was like, I thought this was stupid.
Ben Affleck kind of ruined it for going forward. And now no one makes commentaries. Well, nobody makes official commentaries like that anymore because no one buys physical media. That's very sad.
All right, what's next? 99, right?
Okay, 99, this is where things start to slip, and it doesn't really recover after this. So the number one original movie was The Sixth Sense, written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, made $672 million, but it only finished number two.
Who was number one?
Phantom Menace.
I mean,
because it's 99.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Matrix hit number four.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate
leads to suffering.
Lead into that hate, my friend. Yeah, it made 924
this
mil.
This is pod racing.
I watched that movie so many times,
dude,
as a kid.
I ruined the VHS. I saw that in theaters.
Yep. You know what's weird? I saw that in theaters, too. I don't remember it. I remember seeing Attack of the Clones in theater, and for the longest time, I thought that was the first movie I had ever saw in a movie theater. I had completely blanked out my parents taking me to see Phantom.
I can tell you, I know, you know this thing, I have no recollection of this, but apparently my first ever movie in theaters was, guess what?
What?
The Lost World Jurassic Park.
Oh.
And apparently the T-Rex really fucking woke me up. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah.
This is getting
two.
Out of hand. Hey. This is getting out of hand. Now there are two of them. That's probably the quote I use the most from Phantom Menace in casual conversation. Okay.
This is impossible.
2000. The year is 2000.
Sorry, can I say the last Phantom Menace quote?
Alas, we'll have our revenge. Alas. I love that with Darth Maul. Alas, the Jedi will pay. We'll have our revenge. Love the, this is impossible.
This is like three or four times. Which then I watched Galaxy Quest, which came out a year before, and the villain also says that a lot.
Impossible!
Yeah, no. Okay, so the year 2000.
On, Beck. On.
Original screenplay, but most successful original screenplay was Gladiator.
Oh, that was awesome.
4-6
Are you not entertained? Dust and bones, Maximus. Dust and bones. Marcus Aurelius had a dream. This is not it. This is not it.
Number one for that year, though.
By the way, sorry.
We're not.
Sorry.
Okay,
sorry. I love Gladiator so much. My second cousin's named Elysium. I love it. Because I think about that first scene, you know, when he says that monologue. Like, if you find yourself, you know, riding by yourself with green pastures and the sun on your back, do not fret, for you are Elysium, and you are already dead!
All right.
Sorry.
So, yes, Gladiator was number two.
But that's
number
how we start the decade, right?
Yeah.
In the century.
Yeah, number one.
What a great way to start the century.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, number one was Mission Impossible 2, directed by John Woo.
For 2000?
For 2000. It made 546 as highest grossing worldwide.
Mission Impossible 2.
Mission
the worst
Impossible 2.
One out of the whole.
The worst one out of all of them was
that
the highest.
I'm not going to even quote it. It's so bad.
2001. God, remember the animated movies. They're gonna keep originality strong. Number three, Monsters, Inc. With 528, it got beaten out by Fellowship of the Ring and Sorcerer's Stone.
Was number one.
Sorcerer's Stone was number one. I'm going backwards to the top. I'm going to the like lowest to tallest when I do this.
So number three was put that thing back where it came from, or so help me.
Yes.
To
You don't have to, by the way, Tom, you don't have to do every single quote, because when I do the countdowns, they're going to get longer and longer and longer as the years go on, all right?
You're a wizard, Harry.
So Harry Potter finishes the year with 974.
I promise you, I'll just do the number one now.
And some of these movies you might not have seen as we get closer, so.
You want to bet? I'll quote.
I promise you, you have not seen some of these movies. Okay. 2002, we start to go down a bit.
Oh, God.
A significant amount. Number seven, Signs, also written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
I like that. Scariest moment was when the alien walked from the shrubbery.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking awesome. This is a good movie. It's a great movie.
It got beaten out by Die Another Day, James Bond.
That's a good movie. That's a good Bond film. Mm. That opening one. Dude, you're in North Korea. It's a good movie.
Men in Black 2.
Shit,
Attack
movie.
Of the Clones.
Awesome. Saw that in theaters.
Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, starring Tobey Maguire.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Chamber of Secrets.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. And Two Towers for number one.
$923
million.
Two Towers is the best Lord of the Rings film.
Correct.
I will stand by that. The fucking Helm's Deep battle is Helm's Deep, the whole thing for Helm's Deep, gives Saving Private Ryan a run for its money.
We go back up in 2003 with Finding Nemo finishing at number two with 871. It got beaten out by Return of the King, $1.1 billion.
Remember the movie that had five endings?
The film.
I held my pee for fucking 3 hours straight.
As well as you should have.
I saw that in theaters at the AMC Marina Pacifica. Oh, my God. I saw that in 2003. I was a fucking third grader. That was a great movie. But that was honestly the greatest epic of all time for our generation.
Oh, yeah. There'll never be anything like it.
Dude, just the Battle of Pelennor Fields alone.
Mm-hmm.
Reform the line! Reform the line! We'll take them head on!
So, 2004, we slipped down a little bit.
No man can kill me.
The Incredibles. A.K.A. my favorite Pixar film.
And what number? It's number four?
It finished number four of 631.
Arguably, you could talk about the top three of superhero movies ever made. You could argue.
Yes.
Incredibles is for sure top five. You can argue top three. Because goddamn, when you watch that movie, you're like, fuck, it's so mature.
Well, it had really good competition that year with Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
dude. Next up. And then Azkaban.
Okay. I will not die a monster.
Yes. Yes. Number two was Prisoner of Azkaban.
I saw that in theaters. That to me is the, oh my God, three was such a fucking.
Yeah.
Watching three in theaters, Prisoner of Azkaban, oh my, that lake moment, Expecto Patronum.
Oh, yes.
Dude, goosebumps.
And then number one for that year.
Oh my God, I can see the list.
Shrek 2. It finished highest grossing 2004, finished 929.
I saw that in theaters, and I'm going to tell you, Shrek 2 is one of the greatest sequels of all time. It kind of rivals Empire Strikes Back in the sense of you're just laughing your ass off, and you're just also, dude, fucking Antonio Banderas. Listen, Boots.
I was never much of a Shrek guy, so I'll just take your word for it.
I love Shrek 2, man. That it's better than Shrek 1.
I remember, though, like, 2004, like, you could not escape Shrek.
No.
You could not. I was like, God, just leave me alone.
Oh, my. The cast is stacked in that.
Yeah.
John Cleese is the king.
Mm-hmm. All right, 2005.
Okay.
Again, animated. We're still in the top 10, but we slipped down a bit more.
What number?
6.
Oh.
Madagascar.
I like to move it, move it.
542.
I like to move it, move it.
Hey, look, free mints.
You, higher mammal, can you read?
Madagascar got beaten out by Peter Jackson's King Kong.
I saw that in theaters with my parents. Mm. Oh, my God, that was so great.
Next up.
The bug scene.
Oh,
fuck,
yeah.
That was so scary. So scary.
Then there's Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds.
I saw that in theaters too, and I'm so mad at my parents when they took me to see that. I was shell-shocked.
Okay.
I think, no. 2005. I'm a fifth grader.
Yeah.
And I saw that in theaters. I was so quiet. That was the most, that's the most terrifying end of the world movie for me because of how real it gets.
Yeah.
The fucking army tank scene where they're losing. Oh.
I remember not wanting to see that movie because I
was shell-shocked.
The third season of Enterprise, of Star Trek Enterprise, kind of traumatized me with, like, ideas of the apocalypse, so I stayed away from all of that.
Nope, we saw
that. So next up is Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That's a good movie. I saw that in theaters, too. That was a good movie.
Remember they tried to make a film franchise of that, and then the third movie tanked, and then that was it?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
What a great... The war scene for a PG movie.
Yep.
When remember how there's no sound when they're charging?
Yeah.
You just hear the thud gallop.
Yeah.
And then you want to talk about action scenes? That's that movie. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is, and it opens up with the fucking Blitz.
Yeah. For number two, another movie I refused to see as a kid because I knew that everything was going to go bad in the end. Revenge of the Sith.
Saw that. Saturday night. First Saturday night.
Opening weekend?
Opening weekend at the Westminster 10.
Okay.
Lines everywhere.
Oh,
They had fucking orchestra drummers in the lobby, dancers. Everyone was hyped. Remember how it opened? And the fucking, you see the Republican cruiser.
You dive into
the battle and you're just like, mm-hmm. Oh my God! Dude, there wasn't a dry eye in the house towards that end. You were my brother, Anakin. Love, you were the chosen one. You're supposed to be balance of the force, not blended in darkness.
Oh, to be an adult during that time. I can only imagine, because I was 10.
The first time you hear the Vader.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you knew Evil One.
Padme's
funeral.
That movie has aged a lot better than it should have.
Oh, that movie is
This is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause. Oh, jeez.
The attempt on my life has left me scarred.
Oh, people were quoting that after Trump got shot in the
ear. The Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire.
But Revenge of the Sith did not come out number one in 05. It got beat out by Goblet of Fire.
I saw that in theaters!
Which has your favorite quote, I think, of any movie
ready,
ever.
Ready for it?
Yes.
That's my son! That's my boy!
Dude, I saw that at the Twin Cinema. No, at the Valley, at the four-star cinema, when it used to be the four-star cinema on Valley View.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Garden Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that. Packed house. When Cedric comes back dead and you just sit with his father crying, everyone in there was not a fucking... Everyone was like, Jesus Christ, did Harry Potter just enter the war?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I think the war started.
Yes.
Like, you could tell everyone, the adults, the fans were just like, oh, shit, this is not a fucking YA novel anymore.
Yeah.
This is not a YA movie. This fucking, holy crap. Yeah. And then Ralph Fiennes tearing up the scenery as Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
I can finally...
That was awesome. Yeah, Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire made just shy of 900 million. It was 895. Moving to 2006. I have to look. Okay, yeah. Best original movie finished number 6. Cars 461.
So that's the original.
Yes.
Most so what? I'm curious. Okay, not gonna lie, I just realized we're on 2006 and we're at 2025 right now. So we got a ways to go, folks. Enjoy us.
Cars is the highest grossing original movie.
And that's original. Okay.
Yeah. Number at number six,
Cars
461.
Was great, by the way.
It got beat out by Night at the Museum.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Casino Royale.
Right, Night at the Museum wasn't original?
It's based on a children's book.
Oh my God, that's right. You know what? Night at the Museum was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
Wasn't Ricky Rooney in it? Mickey Rooney?
He might have been. I think he was.
Cupcake, like, or something like that. Like yeah.
Yeah. And then Casino Royale at number four.
Hell
number three
of a
was
Bond star.
Ice Age 2, The Meltdown.
That, saw that in theaters. Funniest shit ever.
And then number two was The Da Vinci Code, based on a novel by Dan Brown.
Paul Bentley did really great in that character that he played. The albino.
Yeah.
And fucking Ian McKellen, how he was talking about the conspiracy with Christ.
Number one, Pirates
no.
of the Caribbean,
no.
Dead Man's Chest, 1 billion.
Wait, hold on. That was number one on 2000?
For 06.
I saw that in theaters with my parents. That movie blew me away because of Davy Jones and, like, the Kraken and everything. And, oh, my... Dude, Dead Man's Chest is a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
If you love Curse of the Black Pearl,
mm-hmm.
and for what it did for movies, and when you see Dead Man's Chest and, like, the Lovecraftian horror...
Yeah. One of these days, it's been a long time. I'm going to be honest. It's been a long time.
You
want to
watch
it
together?
You
want to watch it together? Just the first two. I don't like the third one. I hate World's End. I hate World's
Doesn't
End.
Doesn't World's End, like... No, but the second movie ends in a cliffhanger. You got to know
how it
ends.
Yeah, but World End sucks!
And we don't have to watch 4 and 5.
Fine. Hey, part of the ship, part of the crew. Part of the ship, part of the crew.
All right. Speaking of, 2007. For highest original movie, Pixar is back. Ratatouille finished number six, 623.
Hey, we just had our chef interview with Angel.
I love Ratatouille. Number five, hey, welcome back, Michael Bay, Transformers.
I saw that in theaters with my parents, too, opening weekend. That was so good. It ended with Linkin Park. It ended with Linkin Park.
You know that's a meme now? Like, people...
Yeah, dude.
Like, people, like, the big... When the chorus comes in for that song, like, people use that as, like, you know, when you watch a movie and a character's dead, but then you see the character move a little bit, like, that's a joke.
You know who in the voice of Megatron is Hugo Weaving. You can't get better than that. It's fucking Agent Smith and
Elrond.
Like,
Number four, Shrek the Third.
That was not a good one.
Number three, Spider-Man 3. I did see that in
that
theaters.
That was not a good one. That was a tough
one. There were Spider-Man movies that came after it, but at the time, it was the low point.
I saw that with my cousin, Thomas. My parents took me and him last minute. I was able to say, can we bring my cousin out just to have him? Wow, that was bad. But my first introduction to Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Number two, Order of the Phoenix. And number one, Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End at 960 mil.
Those last two you said suck so hard in theaters. You know why I hated Order of the Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
I read the book. And when you finally see wizard combat, the whole way they describe it is a cacophony of sound because you have to say the spells. And when you're injured, you still have to say the spell correctly.
Yeah.
What happens in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Just flicking our wrists, not saying shit. Fuck that movie. When World's End was a boring ending.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
2008,
okay.
the original crowd gets to spike up a bit. Number three, Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, so the original was a number three now.
Yes, 632 it made.
Kung Fu Panda, you're just a stupid, fat panda. And his eyes are like, hey, don't, I'm going to pee.
The two that beat it, you love one, the other two, not so much. Number two was Crystal Skull. Kingdom of Indiana Jones 4.
I saw that with my parents, and here's the thing. I enjoyed it, except for one thing that kept ruining it for me. You're a double agent. You're a triple agent.
That part was so stupid.
I liked everything else. My parents and I had a good time.
Okay.
It did not age well, the movie.
No. Number one, though, The Dark Knight.
Do you want to know how I got these scars?
Why so serious? Finished at 1 billion.
What a great moment for comic book movies and superhero movies and just movies in general with Heath Ledger's the Joker. And when you first... I saw that twice in theaters, by the way.
Yeah.
I was that lucky. And when you watch it a second time, you're still just like this. Jesus. Like there's nothing. Nothing you can do with all your strength.
Okay. 2009. God damn it. The movie, the highest grossing original movie was not the Pixar movie for that year, which was Up. It edged out Up. Roland Emmerich's 2012. That was the highest grossing original screenplay for that year.
I'm curious because I see this list. I'm going to wait till you say number one because I thought that was original. But I'm going to wait.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Oh,
I fucked up. No, you're right. I totally fucked up.
Okay.
I fucked up. I don't have to go through those. You're totally right. Though someone can make a joke. You're right. Number one.
I know.
It's Avatar. You know, okay, I'm not, you know why? Because we get to this era.
It's a ripoff of Pocahontas and Dancing with Wolves. It
uses a familiar framework.
Kind of like Sinners.
Yes, kinda exactly. Like yes, kind of like Sinners. Avatar, yes, $2.7 billion.
It broke the world.
Unheard of for like an original run in theaters.
I saw it in Limax, which you like to call.
And I saw, I'm going to be real. I am an Avatar defender.
Yeah, me too. I love the first one.
Yes. No, yeah, I love Avatar. I even love the sequel. I'm a sucker for
Sequel. But I love the
I like the sequel.
I hated the sequel, but I love the first one.
I am a sucker for intricate science fiction worlds. I love that James Cameron was able to sneak in a movie that said fuck the US military but nobody noticed because all the glitz and glamour of the world of Pandora
it was beautiful.
It's great to look at. You know, it's like it's a no-nonsense movie. Like, you know the amazing thing about like Way of Water, which I mean we're jumping ahead because we'll bring it up when we get to 2023. But like the amazing thing about Way of Water is that it felt like a movie made in the 90s using modern technology. Mm-hmm. It didn't try to be like a modern blockbuster, which has kind of been Marvel infected with everybody's got to be quippy. You got to have like, you know, everybody's got to have quick banter. We got to write like Joss Whedon and Aaron Sorkin. Like, no, James Cameron does not write like that.
I think all his movies have that 90s feel to it, if you think about it.
Yeah. That's why I love Cameron. Like, everybody is, like, all the characters are, like, very straightforward archetypes, but are still, like, somewhat interesting. Even the ones that aren't all that interesting, they make for, like, good protagonists, and they don't BS around. He just gets to the point.
I love that line. And we'll see if your sanity can be cured. I was like, damn.
I love Cameron. I love James Cameron, and I will not apologize for it.
Jarhead Clan. That killed me when I saw that. Because my grandfather's a Marine, so my dad knew growing up. That made us all laugh. Me and my dad, like, Jarhead Clan.
Okay, all right. 2010. Let me look at this for a second so I don't make that mistake. Avatar was an original. The last.
That is interesting, though, that 2012 was number five. It is interesting.
Yes. But Avatar was the. I will say, Avatar is the last. I want to say, I think it is the last original screenplay movie to end its year number one at the box office.
All right.
To end number one for the whole year. 2010. Welcome back, Christopher Nolan. Inception, number four. Where he wrote and directed and came up with all by himself, $828 million, finished number four, beaten out by Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Inception was a great film.
I didn't care for it. I liked it more on rewatch. I appreciated it
You need
it
to rewatch
more.
That movie multiple times.
Yeah.
You do.
Like, once someone told me that, like, Inception is actually a movie about filmmaking.
It makes you see it differently, huh?
I appreciated the movie more. Yeah, like it, the entire movie is a metaphor for filmmaking. That made me appreciate it just a little bit more.
You have to dream a little bigger, darling.
Yeah.
All right, number four.
That
is number four.
That is number four. It got beat out by Deathly Hallows Part 1, Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
I heard that was a fun film, his version of Alice. Everyone in my photo class was like, I was high watching that. I'm like, okay, I kind of wish I was there. Damn it. Everyone saw that high.
Maybe I would have enjoyed it more high. I was like, whatever. Number one was Toy Story 3.
Great movie. Did you get emotional at that one part?
Oh, like, yeah. The trash incinerator scene. Yeah.
That was fucking wow.
I didn't see it in theaters. I watched it when it went to home release. Okay.
I saw Inception in theaters, and I got to see Toy Story 3 in theaters. And me and my mom and my dad were holding each other's hands like this. What the fuck? That hurt.
Yeah.
Okay, 2000.
Okay, 2011. We really drop on this one
for original.
For originals, shit. You know, the highest grossing original movie. Do you remember when 20th Century Fox came out with an animated movie about birds?
Yeah, I saw Rio.
Finished 13
as original.
As original, 13 overall.
Jesse Eisenberg and
483 mil.
Wait, hold on. Did The Social Network didn't make it the list at all? I'm sorry, I just realized this. So Social Network was like a couple years ago, huh? It was an 09 film.
Yeah, it was also based on a book.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, it was based on the accidental.
Damn,
letters.
Man, there is nothing original.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rio got beat out by Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows, starring Robert Downey Jr.
That was a good movie. I saw that in theaters.
Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots. That's not a bad film. That was a good film.
Cars 2.
Suck dick.
Yeah. The Smurfs, the live action Smurfs, not to be confused with this new.
That's Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the Rihanna Smurfs that's out now?
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, we're rebooting the Smurfs already, but I can't complain because I saw Superman and I liked it. Next up, Hangover Part 2, Fast 5, Kung Fu Panda 2.
Wow.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, Transformers Dark of the Moon, and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, finishing $1.3 billion.
Dark of the Moon's a really good movie. That was a really fun movie.
I checked out after Revenge of the Fallen.
That was a bad movie.
I've not come back since. Okay. All right, 2012.
All of them. So far, I've seen all of them, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. God. Okay. Still pretty low.
So 2012,
still off,
right? We're 2012.
We're 2012. We're still not even in the top 10.
Oh God.
Highest grossing with $549 million, from writer, director, and voice actor Seth MacFarlane.
Oh God.
Ted. Ted finished number 12.
I saw Ted in theaters. I was laughing my balls off. Oh God. I love that. You've seen Ted, right? You've seen the original.
I've seen clips here and there. Yeah. Well, I was like, whatever.
Oh, it's so good. I love you.
Number 11. It got beat out by Life of Pi, based on
a
book.
Movie.
I like Life of Pi.
That's right, yeah.
Men in Black 3.
I mean, if you're better than Men in Black 2, that's not saying much.
Yeah. The Hunger Games.
I still have to sit down and watch the whole Hunger Games franchise.
Me too.
And I'm glad I'm going to watch it as an adult.
Yeah. I think I'm, yeah. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Fuck that movie.
I know you hated it. I had a good time in theaters.
Fucking just nothing against Andrew Garfield.
It was that ending, right? It was the ending that did it. Ah, see? The way he ended it.
No, it was the whole movie.
You
I hated.
The whole movie?
I fucking hated the whole movie.
Oh, the ending. I thought you just hated how he said, like, you know, but those are the best promises to break.
No, I hated that entire movie.
I loved everything
about it. That's a different conversation.
Okay.
The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Ice Age Continental Drift. I'm seeing a lot of repeat franchises
here.
Yeah,
it's sequels.
That's like things I've seen before. Hobbit, Part 1. The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Skyfall, James Bond.
Dark Knight Rises.
Number 1, Marvel's The Avengers, the movie that changed everything. I do love the first Avengers movie.
Well, if you look at your list, the top four, even though none of them are original, they're honestly great pieces of cinema. Because think about it, okay, The Hobbit is basically...
Skyfall is fantastic.
Skyfall is fucking amazing.
Dark Knight Rises is pretty good. Hobbit's all right.
It's a good musical. Like, the music, like, you feel the in love.
I think, I would say the first Hobbit movie is better than the other two. I feel like...
If only the second one just ended how the book ended.
I think the second and third one, that's where there was some... Studio fuckery going on. Mm-hmm. The most studio fuckery, but yeah. The first one's definitely
Let's
the best.
Let's not
but
stand on ceremony here.
It's Mr. almost like Wade. Not comparable. Okay, we're at 2013. Highest grossing original screenplay from writer-director Alfonso Cuarón, starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney in space.
Really, Gravity?
It's Gravity.
Okay.
Finished with $723 million.
At number 8?
No, at number 8, at the end of the year.
God.
Beat out by Monsters U, Monsters
wow.
University, which I actually really like Monsters
no,
U.
No, but still to think about, like, wow, the originals are just not there anymore.
It's, I mean, okay. We're still hanging in the top 10, but that's not going to last.
We weren't hanging in the top 10 the last 2 years you just did. We just got back in the top
yeah.
10.
But, like, Gravity had some spectacle. It's a movie that probably...
Isn't Ed Harris, like, the Mission Control? Is it a callback to Apollo 13?
Oh, he might. I think he was, yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so you got number seven.
Number seven is Monsters University. Six is Fast and Furious 6.
Wow.
Then Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Six is Fast and Furious 6. I like that.
Yeah.
I heard Catching Fire is the best out of all the Hunger Game movies.
I remember really liking that one.
Okay.
Hobbit Part 2, the one with the dragon. Despicable Me 2. Iron Man 3.
I hate Iron Man 3. I don't know why people love that. Fuck that movie.
And Frozen, which
let
is based on an old fairy tale.
Let it go. You know what I love about Despicable Me 2? Mm-hmm. During the wedding scene, if you pan out and look at the bottom right, there's a girl in a little cocktail dress with her booty, a little cake cup booty, and one of the minions is looking at her butt and going like this with his tongue.
Oh, they snuck that in there.
They snuck
Yeah, Frozen made $1.2 billion. We move into 2014.
God, I don't want to even
Where do we go? Where do we go? All right. Barely making the top 10. Welcome back, Christopher Nolan.
Erst.
And welcome back, Jonathan Nolan, because you were there for the Dark Knight movies. Interstellar.
That was a great epic.
Yeah, I like Interstellar.
The black hole sequence, everything.
I love the soundtrack to that movie. Certainly.
Even though they meme it, when you first see that scene where he says, "Those aren't mountains."
Yeah.
that's actually a freaky moment. I know we meme it and joke it now, but when you first see that, you're like, "Holy shit, that's a wave."
Hey, I love that people are making memes out of Interstellar. Giving the respect that movie deserves.
And
absolutely.
Timothée Chalamet owns in it. Shamama
Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Or as my wife calls him, Timothy Calamity. No, Timothy Chalamet.
It was one of his
Why
first
is that
early
hard
movies.
For you to say?
Oh, no, do it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Because Florence Pugh made it funny.
Oh, okay.
But that was
All
one
right.
of his, like, I think that's his first movie, right? Like, one of his first ever, like, yeah.
Was he, like, who was he in that movie?
He was Casey Affleck, the younger Casey Affleck. He
oh
was his son,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
See, now I have to see it again to see that.
Hey, what a great excuse.
Hey.
All right, number nine.
So, yeah, Interstellar got beat out by Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That
Fuck
sucked.
That movie
sucked.
Even
what
harder.
What a waste of Paul Giamatti as Rhino. What a waste. No, because when you hear Paul Giamatti is going to be a different take on Rhino, I got excited because he's a great actor.
I am the lion.
I mean, I don't know. He was pretty much like classic Rhino, just I'm a big dumb Russian.
I know. It was just, what a waste. Okay.
Yeah, that got beat out by Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I saw that in theaters. That is one of the greatest. That movie is a better sequel than Empire Strikes Back. You do not need to see Rise. You can go in cold.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is a fucking scary movie to watch.
Hell yeah.
It's so good. Dude, Cobra,
yeah.
Apes, follow. Cobra now.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
It's a good movie.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
That was fun.
Pretty good.
I had fun seeing that. We saw that together, I think, right?
Yes.
That was fun. The two casts coming together.
Mm.
I love that. The trailer sold it so well. Please.
Yeah.
We need you to hope again.
And then Apocalypse fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Next, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
Oh, wow. So that's the ending of that franchise.
That's the number
Is
five.
That the one where the big song came on that Jennifer Lawrence sang that everyone loved for a bit? The Hanging Tree?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Number four was Maleficent. Based
I heard people
on
like that.
Disney's
I saw
Beauty.
Some of it.
No interest in
Charlton
it.
Charlton Copley, I love him.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Hooked on a feeling.
The end of the Hobbit trilogy. The good riddance of the Hobbit trilogy. Then Transformers Age of Extinction.
Boo.
God,
this
is one, bad. The one famous for the scene where a grown man justifies him dating a 17-year-old by pulling out a card citing some sort of obscure Texas law, and the law that he said didn't even match the card that he showed. That just shows the
get your
the,
shit together, Texas.
Just showed the work ethic behind that movie. Freaking Michael Bay. Okay, now we're in 2015. Well,
we got 10 more years to go. Let's do it.
We're getting there. Okay. Welcome back, Pixar. Number 7, Inside Out, made $859 million.
That's a nice film.
That's a great movie.
I think every family should watch that together.
Yes.
It doesn't even matter if you are just a boy family, girl family mixed. That's a family movie.
It got beaten out by Spectre, James Bond.
It's good just because Christoph Waltz is in it.
Okay.
I will tell you that. When you watch that movie and you realize there were 7 writers, you're like this. There's like 50 lines of dialogue. But Christoph Waltz killed it. Inglourious, wait, hold on. Was Inglourious Basterds in any of the lists of tops at all for original?
Certainly not above any of the moves that I mentioned.
Damn, wow. It makes you think, though, right? Mm-hmm. When like, wow, okay, so keep going.
Then Minions.
For number 5.
For number 5.
I saw that in theaters. I had fun. King Bob. Banana.
I've never cared for the Despicable Me movies at
all.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
That was good.
It's a bit unwieldy, but it's
fucking love that
otherwise,
movie.
It otherwise holds together.
God,
Fast and
our
Furious
time.
7. That's the farewell to Paul Walker.
Yeah. That was a good farewell.
Jurassic World.
Started off great, ended like shit.
I think Colin Trevorrow is an idiot savant with that movie. And he proves it with the movies that came afterwards. Like, okay, it was more interesting than I think the filmmakers thought it was.
I'll say this before you go. It can camouflage!
Number 1. Well, you can read it. But, like, you remember 2015.
Fuck that movie.
What was the big movie for 2015?
Force Awakens. What a piece of shit. What a garbage hot
fucking
mess. The
$2 billion movie for 2015.
Daisy Ridley has gotten screwed over.
I remember liking that movie. I like it a little less after watching Rise of Skywalker.
I
was like, oh, okay. All right. This was going to go nowhere.
I had a free ticket for that movie in IMAX for a birthday present, and I wanted my money back. What's 2016 now?
2016. All right. Higher on the list. Disney, number 4.
Oh.
Zootopia.
That was
made
good.
$1 billion.
We saw that. That was a hell of a movie.
Yes. Yeah, I liked Zootopia. Actually, Disney just dominates the top 5. Because Zootopia beats The Jungle Book, which is
number
5.
Did we see all of these together?
I didn't see Jungle Book.
Okay. We saw Finding Dory.
Saw Finding Dory.
Number 3.
Then number 2, Rogue One.
That, okay.
It gave us Andor.
It gave us, like, not only Andor, it tickled the Battlefront itch we've had.
Yes.
It was so good.
Yes, it did do that. I was like, someone made a Star Wars Battlefront movie.
And fucking Tarkin comes back, and it was scary. Don't be careful not to choke on your aspirations, director. You know, Rogue One is just, that is how you do a fan film. Everything about that movie is rewatchable. It is grounded in reality. It turns into a fucking war film. People are dying. The suicide tactics.
Yes.
That actually, that is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me up a Hammerhead Corvette.
But what beat Rogue One was Captain America Civil War. Also pretty good.
We like it less the more you watch it. I like it less the more
you
watch it. But hey, Chadwick Boseman, fucking. Ugh.
Of course, I just look at Captain America Civil War and I'm reminded of the fact that the 4 movies that I mentioned all made $1 billion.
Wow.
Batman v Superman, which was that same year, couldn't crack $9 million.
But
which
all
I
these,
mean 870.
Wow, that's a drop though from $1 billion to $9 million.
Not even $9 million. It made $874 million worldwide. Batman v Superman, number 7. Which I mean,
we saw that with your sister.
Yeah,
and we had Dominic's afterwards.
That movie.
That was the only way to save that night was having Dominic's. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes. Those dark days are behind us as we move towards them with 2017. It goes down a bit. We're off the top 10, just barely, with Disney Pixar's Coco.
That's a nice film. That's a good film. That's a nice film.
814, finished number 11.
Damn.
Beat out by Wonder Woman.
Boo.
Thor Ragnarok.
That was fun. That was fun.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That was great.
I think this is a Chinese movie, because I've never heard of this. It's called Wolf Warrior 2, and it is a sequel. That is what the 2 refers to, so I think it's a Chinese movie. Number 6, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Solid film.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
That's actually a funny fucking movie.
Despicable Me 3. The Fate of the Furious.
Yep.
The Beauty and the Beast remake. And number one, Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Ooh.
Which, again, ooh, I also liked. But I was also like, they're not going to follow this up very
no,
well,
they're
are
not.
They? Because Rian Johnson has nothing to do with the next movie. Oh, no.
No. What's, 2018.
No. Okay, so now we're in 2018. Highest grossing original screenplay, number 6.
Wow.
The big awards darling, Bohemian Rhapsody, starring Rami Malek.
Interesting. Okay.
Made 903.
So that wasn't based off anything, though? It was just,
no.
It was just the band. Like
it's just, it was just the band.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't based on, it was original screenplay, technically.
That's good.
But everybody loves Queen, so it was based on something people know.
She's a killer queen.
Based on, beating that out is Aquaman.
I don't get how that movie just...
I'm amazed that movie did as well as it did. That movie is so...
Just wow. It's just wow.
It's
just,
very bloated.
Yeah.
I like the specific comics it's based on, like the New 52 Aquaman. I love that, but like, yeah, there's a few.
It's all over the place.
It almost works, but there's just a few miscalculations and.
I could have just peed on it.
That's a different. Yeah.
Okay.
Different conversation. Incredibles 2.
Boo.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one. I love the first one. I didn't care for part 2.
Yeah, that was bad.
Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom.
Beefcake.
He was fucking garbage. Black Panther. I saw that twice in theaters.
I have. I bought the soundtrack. That fucking album's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a good fucking rap album.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
And then number one. What other movie came out in 2018?
Is that really the start of the Infinity? That was Infinity War, huh?
Infinity War. Because it was Black Panther, and then later that year, Infinity War. Infinity War was the $2 billion movie for 2018.
You got to say this, for the Marvel fans starting with Iron Man and how you get to Infinity War, that was a hell of a movie, Infinity War.
Yeah.
That, you got to admit, like, the ones who wrote, just writing that alone, that deserves an award.
So we get to 2019, and we go...
No.
We drop.
I can see the number.
We drop and leave the country, because number 17, we have a Chinese anthology film called My People, My Country, made $450 million. I don't think that ever showed in the United States.
Holy shit. No, I'm looking at the numbers now, because number 16 is... Are you shitting me?
This Chinese film that I've never heard of, it got beat out by It Chapter 2, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, The Wandering Earth, which is
I saw that. Remember, I told you that was a good movie.
Which is, I had to look that up. It's like, oh, that's based on something. Some Chinese animated film called Ne Zha,
yeah,
which is also based on something. Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
We saw that. Wow.
Yeah. Jumanji, The Next Level.
Aladdin.
The Aladdin remake.
For number 9.
Toy Story 4.
Number 8.
Star Wars, The Rise of
it's
Skywalker.
It's number 7. Wow.
It still made a billion, but it couldn't even
but
crack
it's number
the top
7.
Five.
No.
Number
no.
6 was Joker.
Worst fucking movie. Such a... Remember the joke we made? Like, Jesus, the fucking mass shooter is going to want his money back. So bad.
Oh, yeah. That movie had, like, mass shooter hysteria. Oh.
It was so bad.
And it's... Yeah, I... Fuck that movie. Captain Marvel is number 5.
What a downer with you, mean Denise.
Didn't, yeah, it was disappointing. Spider-Man Far From Home.
It's okay. Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal is always great to see.
Yeah.
Frozen 2.
Frozen 2.
Number 3.
Didn't care for it. Lion King remake. Didn't watch
the
it.
Live
don't
action,
wanna
right?
watch it. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was tough to watch, dude. I'm so glad I saw
the
it.
The Emotionless Animals. No, thank you. No, number 1 was Avengers Endgame. $2.7 billion. Should have ended the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but
nope,
they're
money.
Still doing it.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. It was money that fueled it and a broken promise. They promised us that everything after Endgame was going to get about surrealism and weirdness. And WandaVision held up that bargain for just a little bit. So, it should have just ended, taken a 5-10-year break and done something else.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right, where are we
at? All right, 2020, COVID time, baby.
Yeah,
so
you're gonna
everything
say that.
Gets weird, bro.
Original.
So actually, so nothing makes sense with this because COVID happened. So the highest grossing original screenplay is a Chinese movie a Chinese, a literally a propaganda movie commissioned by the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party. It's called The 800. It
yes, I know what you're talking about.
About the Korean War from the Chinese perspective. That made 461 million worldwide. It got
Number
two. 2020 was not a good year for movies because of COVID. Number one is an anime movie.
Oh my God, no. That was number one, the Demon Slayer one?
Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the movie Mugen Train. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Demon Slayer is an anime TV show, yeah. Wow. That was number one. I'm looking at the list, too.
Yeah, the 2020 list does not make any sense.
Because number three is Bad Boys for Life. Number four is My People, My Homeland. Number five is Tenet. Number six is Sonic the Hedgehog. And number seven is the Robert Downey Jr. Doolittle. Holy
which was a bomb.
Shit.
Which that movie was
and
like...
And it had the stacked cast.
Yeah, but and it came out in January. It was supposed to be like a fuck you, it's January movie that didn't make any money. But it made number seven because COVID. Yeah, 2021... We're starting to recover from COVID.
You got to be shitting me.
And the highest grossing original movie, like I said, China's taken over the worldwide boxes.
Yeah.
So I had to start looking up movies. Like, I don't know what that is. So yeah, no, the number two, that is an original movie. It's called The Battle at Lake Changjin. It's a movie.
Beat out No Time to Die. Interesting.
Yeah. Battle Lake Changjin. Which is a movie about, I think that movie is about, like, some battle with the Japanese
kind of
preceding World War II.
China really hates the Japanese. Interesting.
Yeah. It made $902 million.
Wow.
I don't know if that ever screened in the United States. Maybe.
Probably not.
But 900, that just shows how many people live in China that, like, they could get a $902 million box office.
And
number one, it got beat out by Spider-Man No Way Home.
That makes sense.
$1.9 billion.
That was a big movie, what they did, all three Spider-Men together.
Yes, and I love that they took the worst Spider-Man story ever written and made it not bad.
And Willem Dafoe got to basically be like this, hey, I'm back. And I figured out how to really do the Goblin.
All right.
That's some trick of yours. What's the line? He's like, remember?
Yeah.
That's some trick of yours. That's.
Oh, God. Okay.
Osborne's on sabbatical, honey. That's a good one.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry. Oh, wow. So number one, we have our.
Yeah.
That's a sequel, though. That's not original.
Yeah. So the
Holy
original.
Shit.
And I think this is another Chinese movie because I've never heard of it. It's called Watergate Bridge. But it's not about our Watergate. It's not about Nixon. The Watergate Bridge.
Number nine.
Made $626 million.
I'm looking at the rest of the list you're saying, and I'm just shocked that that's what was dominating.
Yeah, because it got beat out by Thor Love and Thunder.
Boo.
The Batman.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Starring
Open
Robert
your eyes!
Starring Robert Pattinson. Black Panther Wakanda Forever. I haven't seen it.
It's interesting. It's interesting to watch this because of what happened with Chadwick. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Not strong at all.
Minions The Rise of Gru.
Oh, God.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I did not care for because
I agree with you.
It assassinated Wanda. Jurassic World Dominion. Did not see. Top Gun Maverick.
I saw that in theaters. I am saying to you, you need to watch that movie.
Okay.
Just because of not... Just because it's better than the first one is not saying much, but you need to watch that because of what it means for movies. Dude, it stole from A New Hope. I mean, really, it did. And then there's other things about it, too, where you're just like, no one's talking about this other shit as a war film.
Yeah.
I had deep conversations with a Marine vet who did two tours in Iraq about this movie. So,
number one was Avatar, The Way of Water, co-written and directed by James Cameron. It made $2.3 billion. So after 14 years of people saying Avatar has no cultural relevance, wow, what a failure that movie was. Nobody cares about Avatar. Blah, 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 blah.
No, the proof is in the pudding.
People saw it.
I don't know why people hate on the first one, too. It's a good film.
Yeah.
First one's fucking phenomenal. Okay, where are we at now?
2023.
Oh, we're almost...
Getting close. I gotta remember this.
Oh my God! Are you serious? I think I know.
Okay, I think this is our original movie. and it's a Chinese movie, again, called Full River Red.
Wow.
Made 670 mil, finished number 7. It got beat out by Across the Spider-Verse.
Great movie.
Mwah. Fast X.
No.
Guardians 3. Mwah.
It's good. Oddly tonally interesting. Interesting. Yeah. But good. Mm-hmm. It's a good film.
Oppenheimer, who's based on a book called American Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario Brothers movie.
I saw it and I enjoyed it.
Barbie, $1.4 billion.
I did not get Barbie. I thought was just, I wanted more Ken. The Ken dolls were more interesting.
Barbie's one of those, like, it is what it is.
It really, you know what? Barbie is really, you know what's the craziest? Here's the review I heard about Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is this shit? And he's a fucking dumbass. I love it. I love it. Like, it's, that's like people, like, you either really, it is take it or leave it.
Yes.
It is the most, wow.
It's a vibe. It's an interesting vibe where it's like, you know, for a movie about based on Barbie dolls, I didn't expect this. This is at least interesting.
I don't like how they made fun of The Godfather, though. That pissed me off. That really pissed me the fuck off the way. I'm like, this, really? Is that what you think of The Godfather, you fucking idiot?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the director's name is.
Okay.
2024.
This is last year. We dip big time. Because number 16.
No.
And I had to check because the 14, 15, and 16 are Chinese
serious?
Movies. 16, though, is the only original screenplay out of all of them. It's called Successor. It made $422 million.
Jesus.
It got beat out by a Chinese movie called Pegasus 2. Another Chinese movie called YOLO, but I don't think it's about what we were saying
Ew.
In 2010.
And now I'm seeing the list. Ew.
Beetlejuice.
Ew.
Gladiator 2.
Ew.
Venom the Last Dance.
Jesus Christ.
Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Dumb.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Why?
Godzilla X Kong The New Empire.
That was tough to watch.
Dune Part 2.
A little disappointed, but it was still a good movie.
Mufasa the Lion King.
It was sad.
The Wicked movie.
Was that good? No, you said
yes,
you were good. Okay.
I like
okay.
the Wicked movie.
Okay.
Despicable Me 4.
I'm so surprised we're going on. Like, it's still happening.
It's still there. Moana 2.
Wow,
haven't seen it.
That was last year.
Deadpool and Wolverine rocked.
I got to watch that because I watched the first two.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I'll say this because I watched that famous clip on YouTube. And the fact that they did this in a Deadpool movie really shows you how good it is. The little rant that Wolverine goes on in the car.
Yeah.
And what a great line. It's like this.
Motherfucker, I wish I could say you die alone, but it's one of God's best jokes that you can't die, except it's on all of us.
I'm like this. Jesus Christ, this movie's God. It has to be amazing for Hugh Jackman to pull that off with Wolverine.
Oh, it was a wonderful romp. And
but that line saying, like, you know, it's God's greatest joke that you can't die, but it's on all of us. Holy shit.
Yep. Number one for that year. Number one for last year. I also saw this in theaters. Inside Out 2.
And I got to watch it, right? Because I liked the first one.
I liked Inside Out 2. It was weird that they didn't have, like, two of the original actors that they replaced.
Isn't that weird how, like, the whole cast didn't come back?
Yeah, not the whole. Like, I think, like, Lewis Black, I think, still came back, but.
No.
No?
He was replaced by the guy who does Forky.
Oh, really?
I think or did he replace Hader? I think the guy who...
Hader was replaced.
By the guy who did Forky.
Yes.
Okay, that's right.
And then someone else did...
Mindy Kaling got replaced by, I forget her name. She did a really good job.
Yeah.
Playing Mindy Kaling.
So now we go
to
2025.
So what's this so far this year?
Now, granted, this is 2025 as of July 21st when we're recording this.
More than halfway.
This episode will probably come out a month after we record this, but to give you perspective, as of right now, Sinners is not the highest grossing original movie this
year.
And
I'll say this too, because you brought up that the big movies right now, currently within the last few years, have been like the horror movie Blumhouse feels.
Mm-hmm.
Weapons has not come out yet.
So Fantastic Four has not
I'm
come out yet.
I'm curious about Weapons.
Yeah.
Though, as a, like, because I think that's original.
Yes.
I'm curious about, I mean, I'm really curious about Weapons.
I think that's like, Because that's from James Wan.
Yeah, and it's in August.
And he's like in his blank. He's kind of like where...
No, he's been in his blank check fucking face for a while.
Because like, I heard Barbarian was like a really weird movie.
I heard it was fun.
Hold
on. Sorry, we're in 2025. The Northmen didn't do anything? I know it's not original.
No,
but
that movie was a bomb.
Oh, God. Remember how fucking awesome that was to see? We were literally cheering in the crowd.
That you'd have thought a movie like The Northman would have been box office magic because it's like it's like everything you could ever want in a movie.
It was in it.
Made by an artsy director,
wait,
no less.
Where was Nosferatu on this list for last year? It's not original, but it didn't even do well?
Well, it didn't do, like, gangbusters. I'm sure
damn,
it did all right.
What is going on?
So no.
Okay, we're
so
here.
Far the highest grossing original screenplay for this year, F1 the movie.
I mean that does
the
make
Formula
sense.
One movie. It's currently at number 7. It's being beaten out by the How to Train Your Dragon remake.
Boo.
Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning.
Boo.
Jurassic World Rebirth.
Why?
A Minecraft movie.
That's just mind-boggling. The success that movie has.
The Lilo and Stitch remake. Boo! And some Chinese animated sequel that I've never heard of called Ne Zha 2, and it has made $1.9 billion.
And to make this list, by the way, folks, so you can see it, hear it more for 2025, F1 the movie is 7, and you said that's the original?
Yes.
Behind that, at number 8 is Captain America: Brave New World. Number 9 is Superman.
Woohoo!
Number 10 is Thunderbolts. 11 is Sinners,
mm-hmm,
which we were talking about. And then behind Sinners, just behind it, Final Destination: Bloodlines, Snow White, Dog Man. 28 years later, and 28 years later, 145 mil. And what makes that interesting? That movie got hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
And even the fucking Weekend was just blasting it, those trailers everywhere you went. But it only made 145, and yet a Chinese animated sequel is at 1.9.
That you can't watch. Or maybe you can. I don't know. Oh, maybe there's some special boutique streamer that showed it. But I'm like, this.
It just shows you.
$1.8 billion for a movie that I don't think has... If it's screened in the United States, it's got to be like some special Chinatown theaters in like some big city. I don't know. Who else is? Maybe some like neighboring countries in Asia are watching this movie too. But like, I mean, China's got like what, a billion people in its population?
Just more than that now. Like what? But it wouldn't surprise me if you find it's closer to.
Yeah. Just
because they said a billion back in the 80s.
This is our high. I mean, $1.8 billion. Lilo and Stitch is our number 2 movie.
It's a live action remake,
and
too.
And it's just 1.007. So their highest grossing movie of the year in a year where we're beyond the pandemic, you know,
set of bullshit.
And Hollywood is kind of just
recovering still from those strikes.
Hollywood, yeah, but for the most part, kind of operating the same way as it's always has. There's been no radical shift towards like original screenplays or anything like that. No, it's like it's getting, you know, the best we can muster so far is a pathetic remake of a great kids movie from 20 years ago
that got everyone to listen to Elvis again,
and it's being beaten out by an animated movie made in China,
a sequel
is not showing in a theater near you and is never showed in a theater near you anytime soon.
Everyone go watch original stuff like Sinners. Watch Opus that's now on HBO Max.
Oh, with A.O. Edebiri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then also to the Death of the Unicorn one with the chick who plays Wednesday. That's going to be on HBO Max soon. Just saying, like, just regardless, I mean, I joked about Sinners not technically being original because of the same idea, but just watch original stuff because this is just, it's not, I don't, you know why I don't go to the theaters? Mm-hmm. One, because what's out there and where do I have to drive to find it? Mm-hmm. But two, within 2 months, it's already on streaming.
One thing that my wife and I are doing, they're starting to do, is there's that Starlight Cinemas in Lakewood.
Yes, they do. I gotta go with you more.
Tuesdays, $5 a ticket.
I got to.
And so we're like, oh,
no matter what, right? You're
this
going.
This is kind of thing? Yeah. Yes, we're planning on going. We're recording on a Monday, so we're planning on going this week. But honestly, I don't know what I want to watch. I don't know what's there that I want to see. But maybe it'll get me to see more movies. And like, you know, last week we saw Superman. Actually, we saw it Sunday night, and then we came back and watched it again on the Tuesday matinee.
How was it to two seeings back to back? Like in the sense of seeing not just I'm not talking about the movie, but seeing the same movie back to back in theaters. I haven't done that in so long. What was that like?
Well, I only ever do that if it's a movie I genuinely really liked. Like where it's like where I'm like you know, cuz I've done that with Black Panther. I even did that with Avatar 2, where just okay, this is and you know, it's Superman. You think like what could you possibly do with Superman? And then
I'll see you when it comes on HBO Max.
And then but James Gunn, it's like but for me and the reason I wanted to see it again was why I wanted to see it in the first place was James Gunn is making it. The Guardians of the Galaxy guy wrote and directed it. So I'm like, okay, what does he do with Superman? And
gets you ready for Peacemaker as well, season two.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'll watch Peacemaker, but I didn't watch it for that. It was just, I mean, I don't want this to turn into like a Superman review, but, you know, I appreciate when, you know, a new filmmaker can take something, you know, that everyone knows and then add a spin on it and still tells a good story.
Refreshing story.
I need to add that last part because they tried that 12 years ago. Zack Snyder was that filmmaker. Didn't do it right. Just thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we can, isn't it cool that we have the technology to show Superman smashing into buildings?
9/11.
Remember 9/11? What if Superman was there?
And I'll say this. Because I know I have no desire to see it in theaters just because I'm like, honestly, it'll just be on HBO Max like by the Thanksgiving. So it's like, why waste the money? But I'll say this. When it comes to original stuff, I am okay with multiple different comic book adaptations because I loved The Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, comic books are different because one character has 50 different arcs.
Mm-hmm.
So it technically, you can argue it's original because you're bringing something different. Like for me, I want Red Sun. I fucking mm-hmm. want Red Sun live action so goddamn fucking badly. It will not happen ever. But I want that. I love The Batman because it was different than Christian Bale's or no, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight, because this one was about, hey, we're getting to the point in superheroes now where it's like this, hey, vigilantism is pretty bad, being a vigilante, actually. It's yeah. the problem. And that's why that... So I yeah. will see Superman when it's at home.
I will say the thing that I loved about the Superman movie that could like tie into broadly... Because I realized something, that there's a the core theme of the movie is kind of... Also kind of the core theme of this podcast. The movie kind of rejects like political nuance as bullshit, because in the end... If people's lives are in danger, then it doesn't matter what nuance you add to it.
Oh,
all
yeah,
that
yeah.
matters is like, are you going to help people? Are you not going to help people? Do you want to, you know, do you want to do good? There's good and there's bad. Yeah. And if you do the most good for the most people, that's all that matters. You know, your politics be damned.
So you're saying that it shouldn't matter what you pray to, there are fucking children dying in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That is so interesting.
I didn't
for,
say anything
for
about
hero.
Israel and Gaza. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey-o.
Interesting for a hero to think like, hey, oh, it's like when Superman and Lois. Superman, why the fuck did you save that North Korean submarine? They were about to die thousands of miles below the ocean.
Yes!
But they're North Korean. You could have at least brought the sub back. What the fuck are you talking about, General? Yeah, no, fuck. If you, this is what you'll say. If you have the abilities of Superman, you just save lives.
Just do it.
fucking borders be damned. Bringing it back to episode one, yes. Bitch.
And maybe that's why I saw it again, because I was like, hey, that's kind of what our show's about. That's kind of why, That's kind of something I believe in, and that's why we kind of started this whole thing up. Anyway,
I call dibs on Batman if we ever get superhero stuff. You can be Kal-El. I want to be Batman.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I like wanting to fly. I've wanted to fly, so yeah, fine. You can be Batman. You can beat up people. Yeah, that's fine.
With my taser fists.
Yeah.
I want the squirrel suit. I want the squirrel suit.
Just to bring it back to what we were talking about in the first place with this, if you see a movie being advertised that's like, you know, see what you want to see. But if you actually genuinely care about movies being more interesting in theaters, new ideas, new original ideas, if you see a movie where it's like from the director of this and it's something you've never heard of, go see it. If that's something you genuinely care about, go see it. And if it sucks, it sucks. But you know what? I would rather like promote more sucky, like I'm okay with like, if it's sucky original movies that get big all of a sudden, that means the odds are is that there's going to be a diamond in that rough somewhere. That something good is going to come out
also
of
that. Also too, it'll tell the suits that, hey, we want this more.
Like remember when most... Well, I don't know. Do I remember this? I don't know if I remember it that well. But like, there was a time when, like, most movies in Hollywood were, like, original. In fact, there was actually a time in the 80s when, like, original spec scripts could, like, there was, like, a big run on them.
Yeah.
And you could make millions of dollars by selling. There was, like, bidding wars on that.
Literally, every movie in the 80s was just like, whoa!
I want that to come back. I want there to be, like, fucking, like, some screenwriter has written a new script and that studios will, like... Studios and producers will like fucking fight each other to get it. I want that to come back. That must have been a great time.
'80s. Well, that's why everyone's. That's why Stranger Things is around for that decade's nostalgia. The '80s had almost everything you can think of. The cocaine was pure.
Yeah,
literally.
Like they're like the scene of like in the second season where they dress up like Ghostbusters for Halloween. Ghostbusters was just some weirdo idea from Dan Aykroyd,
and you know, and it stayed in the cinemas for over a year.
Yeah, and so the
idea
that
my dad saw it multiple times because he had to go back because he couldn't get all the jokes because everyone was laughing so hard, including him.
Mm-hmm.
That was that movie. Think about that. That movie was in the fucking theaters for over a year because it was just fuck yeah, this is hilariously awesome and good, and it's a workplace fucking comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring back that 80s mentality of just fresh, new, and just balls to the wall, put your nuts on the table.
Where, like, being a movie star actually meant something.
Yes.
Because it meant that you could get, like, a weirdo movie made. You're like, hey, I want to act in this. Like, Hollywood would never greenlight it unless big movie star, agrees to star in it. Bring that back.
Bring back
some really interesting stuff came out because of that. Bring back movie stars. Bring back when movie stars meant something. You just stick an actor's name, bam, I want to see that. Yep. Tom Cruise is in it, I want to see it. Tom Hanks is in it, I want to see it. Nobody does that anymore.
Molly Ringwald, I want to see it. This is it, really. Her yeah. movie, her, those John Hughes movies are... That us?
That us. That wraps it.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.